mitzvahs in all the parashas of the Torah. There are, I think, like seven, if I'm not mistaken, 77 mitzvahs. If I'm not mistaken, in this week's parasha.
I think it's 67.
Oh, 67? Okay, 67 mitzvahs in this week's parasha. It's a big parasha. A lot of mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs relate to bin Odom Lachaveroi. It's interesting, if you study the parasha well, they deal a lot with bin Odom Lachaveroi. Obligations, moral obligations one person has to another person. Parsha begins with Kiseitze la Mulchama Mulchemes Rishus, and person finds an Eshes Yifas Toyar, Choshaktova, and he wants to marry her. And Rashi over here says something very frightening. Rashi says, V'hoyo im loy chofatz tobo. Im here does not mean if he will not like her. After he goes through the entire process of taking her and putting her by the doorpost and going through the entire process, we would expect it to mean that it will be that if after 30 days he does not like her, okay, so then he sends her on her way. And if he likes her, so marry her. What's the problem? What's the big deal? No, so Rashi over here says, V'hoyom loy chafatz taba, ha'kosov nivaserecha shesoifcha lisan oisa. Im does not mean if. The Pasuk over here is coming to tell you as a matter of fact that the day is going to come when you're going to hate her. That you will definitely come lisan oisa, you will come to hate her. And then Rashi goes on to say that that's the smichus apsukim. The next parasha deals with Kisiel Ishtei Noshim Ahachas Ahuvav Yachas Sinua. He has two wives, and he wants to disinherit or deny the child of the Sinua, his firstborn right, which he is entitled to. The Torah says, "Don't you dare! Leisuchal, you have no right to do so. He is entitled to receive the firstborn right." And then the next parasha begins the Ben Soirer Umoire. And from this marriage, you'll have a Ben Soirer. So you have over here the Smichus Apsukim. If a person takes this non-Jewish woman because of his Yetzirah, even though I'm allowing you to do so, I'm warning you, it's not a good idea. You're going to come to hate her. And from her, you're going to produce a child that's going to be a Ben Soirer Umoire that will one day murder people at the crossroads. And if you get lucky, they'll be able to nip it in the bud and murder him, kill him, execute him in advance before he commits all of these horrible crimes. Okay, so this is the Pshut Shel Mikra, the three first parashos of the Torah, the first three parashos, the smichos, the significance in the juxtaposition of these three parashos. I just want to make a following suggestion, following Ha'ora. The Ben Soira Moira is described with two terms. A Ben Soirer Umoire. We learned together in Chumash at night that Soirer means, according to Rashi, to go astray. Sor min haderech. Moire means to rebel. Merida. Mamrim hayisim mashem miyoim dati eschem. These are the two midos of the Ben Soirer Umoire. Sor min haderech and a moirate. We learned Targum, we had a whole discussion. Targum is Targum, saying something different. Targum says sote, which someone suggests means loshna vashoite. Okay, that's the Targum is holding him halach in the past, whatever, but that's not for now. What I want to suggest is that something Dvar Pashut, there's a practical application to this, and that is the Ben Soirer Umoire. It's not just, okay, you want to marry this woman. I'm warning you, she's a non-Jewish woman. And because she's a non-Jewish woman, which comes from bad stock, this is how I think I always understood. I think this is probably how most people understand, is that she has no yichus. She has no yichus, this woman. This woman comes from bad stock. She comes from a different culture, a different nation. The only reason why you want to marry is because of your Yetzirah. It'll come, her yichus, her bad midos, the fact that she's not one of us, will come to haunt you naturally.
it's a natural consequence that the evil of the woman in her midos and her culture of being from the umayis ha'olam will one day come to haunt you. It has nothing to do with you. You'll raise this child the best you possibly can. You will send him to the best yeshivas, provide him with the best melamdim, give him everything that society considers critical to guarantee your child grow up to become the next Gadol Hadar. But guess what? It's not going to work. You know why it's not going to work? Because after all, where does she come from? She's a shavuya. You went to war against the nation. There must be a reason why you went to war. You must hate these people. They must be evil people. And now amongst the evil people you find a pretty girl and you want to marry her. Doesn't take away from the fact that she has in her mind, she has in her midos, in her blood, bad midos, bad feelings.
Not just bad midos, but it was the way she was brought in.
So you're saying something different. Right. So you're coming to say something. You're coming to say what I want to say. Let's explain. I want to clarify this point. The average person, when they read these psukim, these three parshas, and you read the Rashi, and Rashi tells us that there's a sequence. If you marry this woman, the end's going to be you're going to hate her. And then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to have a child that's going to be ben soirer umoireh, and it's going to be a lot of tsaris. So why? Let's focus on the child now. Let's not focus on the woman. Let's focus on the child now. Why? Why is a child going to be a murderer? So I think many people, is because it's not because you did anything wrong. You did nothing wrong. I sent him to the best possible yeshivas. It's in the blood. She's a shiksa. So you took her in a war. The Torah said, you took her, what kind of Yetzirah? You go, you find her. She comes from the Avodah Zarah. You can send to the best yeshivas. It's not going to help. It's going to come one day to haunt you. I think that's a very basic shot, which many
people... He senses his mother's distress over the fact that she lost her family, and she's never really happy to be a Jew. She's a shiksa, like you said. And
so what?
You killed his father, maybe.
That's the wife. Let's deal with the child.
But he sees his mother's distress, and so he's not going to be a happy camper.
Oh, so you're saying what I want to say. So you're saying it's a very important thing that you're saying. Because the average person will not necessarily say that. The average person will say, is that it's just a matter of yichus. This woman does not belong to be part of Klal Yisrael.
If genetics.
If you are going to war against this nation, obviously they're wicked people. Okay, you have to differentiate amongst the Umay Sa'ilam. They're Hasidi Umay Sa'ilam. But if you're going to war against these people, they're obviously these are wicked people. Why are you taking one of these wicked people to be your wife? In the genetics. And because they're wicked people and you were supposed to kill them and you're supposed to go to war and you take one of them, the genetics, it's the yichus that's going to go and they're going to destroy. Even if you send this child to the best yeshivas, it's inevitable. So I want to suggest that's not the pshat. That's not true. That's totally not true. The reason why, so Rabbi Mayevsky was saying, the reason why this child is such a problem is because of the two parashas. There are two different terms that the Torah uses to describe this child that will one day be a murderer. A sorer and a moirer. Where did he learn to be a sorer? And where did he learn to be a moire? So let's go backwards. He's a ben soirer umoire, a rebellious. Rashi here tells us, you took this woman for the wrong reason. You took her not because of her noble midos, not because of the nobility you saw in her. You know, Chazal say, you took her because of the Yetzirah. You went to war, and she was dressed as she was not a Jew. You know, today there's a lot of discussion about marrying a geirus. A woman who you marry a geirus, this is wonderful. This is like the greatest thing. They once asked a boy once asked, it's a famous story, Rebbe Yashiv. He was dating a girl who was a geirus. So in his family, you know, they didn't do that, but somehow he ended up and he really, really liked her and wanted to marry her. And for some reason, he felt he had some questions. So he went to Rebbe Yashiv and he said to him, marry her. There's absolutely nothing wrong. She's a Bas Yisrael, 100%. And in fact, there's a Mila. Every single day of your life, you'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ahavtem Es Hager. So when you're dealing with a woman or the Giyor, there's nothing wrong. Adarabah. So what's the problem then? How did this happen that there's a Ben Sura Mura by marriage? The answer is when he married her, she wasn't Jewish. When you marry, it was a forced conversion. She was not Jewish. She would never have converted to Yadus. It's only because you forced her into it. Okay. There's a child. The child in his life saw two things. Number one, his mother went through a forced geirus. That's what it is. That the Torah is matter her, because if he's not going to be matter her, then he'll marry her against the, he'll do whatever he wants. So the Torah provided a solution. But the solution is not ideal. You forced her to be sor min haderech. Her derech, her trajectory in life was to continue in her avodah zarah, continue in her hashkafa, whether it's good, whether it's bad, it's none of our business. She was not ever planning to convert to Judaism. There's a world out there. There are 7 billion people. Most of them are good people. They don't bother anyone. They live their own lives. They're not coming to kill anyone. It's not Yadus. It's not Judaism. Atov v'chartonu mikolo amim. We're very different. You took this woman and you took her off her path in life. And you forced her to be sor min haderech, to become a shomer Shabbos. Because you like her. Because she's pretty. Because you want it, because of your Yetzirah, because of the Yetzirah. This trickles down into the child. It's you who made the child into a soirer. It's not genetics. Because if it was genetics, there would be no such thing as geirus in Klal Yisrael. There would be no such thing. There's no such thing that because genetics is a problem. It's no such thing. The problem of Ben Soirer Umore is you created a monster. You created a Soirer and you created a Moire. How did you create the Soirer? The child grew up in an environment where the mother is always living with a recognition that she went through a forced conversion. A forced conversion is Sor Min Haderech. She had a derech in life, and you forced her to be sore from the derech that she had in her life, which was not to be a Jew. That trickles down into the behavior, the attitude, and the frame of mind of the child. And then the Torah tells us it's inevitable that you're going to hate her. When you force a person to convert against their will, there's going to be machlokes. You're going to come to hate her. And what's going to happen when you come to hate her? You're going to come to disinherit her son. To disinherit is an act of rebellion. What's rebellion? There are rules, regulations, there are laws. I don't want to do it. I want to do my own thing. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what the CDC has to say. I do my own thing. I'm my own man. You're a rebel. You're a rebel. The Torah says you have a firstborn child, whether you like it or not, he gets Pishnayim. Just because you don't like your wife, you're going to go take away what he is entitled to. It's the law. You're a rebel. And when you rebel, that trickles down into the blood of it trickles down into the mindset. The child is like a child's mind is wet cement, picks this up very quickly, and he also becomes a rebel. So when the Torah here says that we have here a child that's a ben soirer umoireh, it's a terrible mistake to say, which people, they say this, and unfortunately, it's because of what do you expect? You went out to war, you saw there these goyim, they were doing avodah zarah. Rashi tells us they did terrible things. The women got dressed up in provocative clothing in order to seduce the young Jewish boys, and you fell for it. You took one of these women off the street, and you took her into the house, and you have a child with her, and you get. So what do you expect? It's in the genes. You want to go marry a prostitute? So what do you expect? The child will take after the mother. The mother's a prostitute, so the child will become a ben soirer umoireh. And let me ask you, what happens if you? So is that the pshat? Many people will tell you that's the pshat, but that's not the pshat. Because because the mother was a prostitute, if you take this child and you send him to yeshiva and you teach him Torah and you teach him, the child will turn out to be the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Akiva came from Gerim. Shemaya V'Avtalion came from Gerim. Unkelis came from Gerim. That's not the problem. The problem over here has nothing to do with the genetics, the yichus. The problem over here is you, the father, you created the monster. Because you took a woman and you forced her to depart from her derech. And when they have a child, the child lives in this home and sees what has happened to his mother, it trickles down and he becomes a person who also is now sor min haderech. And when the father gets the nastiness comes out because he did a forced conversion on this woman, and there's an element of snua, of hatred, and he tries to break the law. I don't care what the law is. And the father behaves towards his wife with an act of rebellion. That behavior trickles down to the child, and he also becomes a rebel. He becomes a moireh. And then what do you got? Ki siyen el ish bein soirer umoireh. Congratulations. This is the product of your work. You made him. Don't blame anyone for this. It's not, it just happens to be this ben soirer umoireh. It's an ichos. It was predestined. It was min hashamayim. It was meant to be. Baloney. You created him. You created him. It's not the yichus, it's the home. It's the home of strife, a home of domineering upon your spouse, a home of quarreling and where hatred. We all know that hatred, when there's hatred, there are no rules. You break every rule, every law. That's the koyach of sinna mikalkeles es hashura. Hatred, it's mekalkel. What is correct? You have created your own monster.
But you have to get real to know, how did you meet her? You were in her house. Why were you in her house? Maybe you're the one who killed her parents or her first husband.
That's a different idea. Okay, that's a different idea. Right, that's a different idea. I hear that. That's a whole different idea.
That you'll never get over.
Right. I'm just focusing on the basics. The basics are we call him by two very special words. Soirer umoireh. Rashi, soirer, sor min haderech. Moireh is loshon, Rashi says, mamrim heyisen, rebellious. Why did the Torah select these two words to define the essence? It's not a coincidence, because the first two parashiyos deal with a husband who is forcing another person to be a soirer, and the second parasha is dealing with a man who is a moireh. And then comes the third parasha. Oh, look at that! We got a child here who's the ben soirer umoireh. Yeah, who's the soirer umoireh? You're the soirer umoireh. and it's a no brainer that this has trickled down to this child. So don't wipe your hands clean and say, listen, I'm a tzaddik, I did nothing wrong, and Hashem gave me a special gift. He gave me a ben sayer umayra. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And here I am. Now, obviously, what I'm saying over here now is a little bit extreme, because unfortunately today there are parents who are so good and who have done everything in the world that they're supposed to do with love and devotion and care. And Rachmana Litzlan, things don't work out. That's a reality. And then there are parents who have done literally everything wrong. Everything. And yet they have children who are gems. So, you can't generalize. You cannot generalize, okay? So, obviously there are exceptions. We live in an extremely complicated world. But there's also, many people will tell you very clearly, is that, you know, don't just rely on luck if your kids will come out good or not. Obviously, a lot, take responsibility. There is something called responsibility in this world. I know there are exceptions. There's no question about it. I know a lot of people, you know, I was yesterday, I had to go somewhere yesterday, and I was sitting next to a person who, He's okay now. He comes from a very, very chashuva family. And there's no doubt in my mind that this is not what they expected. I don't know the family, but I can't imagine they did anything wrong. They're good, solid people. That's the way the world goes. You know, you can't generalize. But still in all, you do find that if you go and you raise people the way you're supposed to, they turn out good. And if you make big mistakes, you got problems. There's something to that also. There's a lot to that. And that's what the Parsha Ben Sorer Umore is about. Responsibility. Accept upon yourself this accountability, responsibility. Don't just sit back and walk down Avenue M and say, oh, Ben Sorer Umore? Yeah, it's in the genes. Have a nice day. That's the attitude I always had. Have a nice day. I'm off to the races. I have things to do. Ben Surimer, it's in the genes. Leave me alone. Not my problem.
We see something very interesting here, that the Chumash Bereshit tells us how to make a shidduch. And Abraham sent to Eliezer, Mimishpikach, Mimishpachti, Umibeit Avi. Not only, you know, Mimishpachti, Umibeit Avi. Yitzchak sent kach lecha isha mebnot av lavan achi imecha. So the behavior and the customs of the house should be the same. You know, otherwise it's a mixed marriages.
Right.
In the old days, they didn't marry Ashkenazim with the Sfaradim and things like this. It's not because they are not Jews, because the habit, the customs of the house is different. And you know, it's better to stick
to your own.
Kind. That's
stick to your own.
Now it's already mixed up.
Statistically, intermarriages are always a horror. Anyone, if this is any mashuhu of seriousness in religion, if you have a man and a woman, and they come from, one is a Jew, one is a Christian, and they're practicing. I'm not talking about Orthodox. I'm talking about, I have a Christian who goes to church, well, once a year, and a Jew, you know, you go to temple once a year. That alone, going to temple once a year, and a Christian going to church once a year, will destroy the marriage. If you have a Christian, zero, there are a lot of those, like, zero, they don't even know what a church looks like, never stepped in. And you have a Jew, doesn't even know what a temple looks like, all right, statistically, they'll manage, because they don't even have, they have no religion. What?
They're even.
They have no religion. Religion means nothing. But when you have a man and a woman, they like each other for whatever reason. They're compatible. But one, you know, they have feelings. Feelings to Yadus. A little bit, you know. Not talking about, and the other one has feelings to Yashka, you know. It's a disaster. Not today, not tomorrow. Wait 5 years. Wait 10 years. It's a disaster. Because when all the Yetzirah goes away, and you're left with life, and if you're a believer, you have in you some values, doesn't work. It really doesn't work. It's statistically shown that it's a disaster. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's move on to another idea. Ben Sarimara, this part, Ben Sarimara, Chazal tell us, he's nidoin al shem seifa. It's a very frightening principle. Mm-hmm. You have a 13-year-old boy. What did he do already? He stole from his mother and father when they weren't looking. Did you ever do this at home? I did it. You ever steal from your parents? You steal a couple of bucks. You know, your parents send you to the store. Here, go buy Shabbos. What about the change? There's $5 of change.
No,
so you didn't give back the change? You're a ganav. Doesn't qualify to be a ben sarim mayor. And what do you go do with the change? You go to Essen on Coney and you buy a corned beef sandwich, a tarkiva shel basar, and you take the change and you buy some wine. Okay, so today it's not going to be wine. Today you go buy yourself a Coca-Cola. Oh, you went and you stole money from your parents and you purchased wine and you purchased some yayin. And you're a soyer emer, which means that you're not doing well in school. The Rebbe calls up and says he's not learning, he's not behaving, he missed mincha one day. Oh, guess what? Ben soyer emer, let's execute him. Scandalous. If you want, you can make a case. You can make a case that every single person in high school, every single one of us, if you want to make a real case and go be a real Lamdan, you can show that almost every single person has been Sarah Ramona. Right? And what is the halacha? Execution. No Rachmanis. Why? Because the day is going to come. He's going to steal all his parents' money and he's going to go on the crossroads and murder people in order to maintain his lifestyle. So better Yomus Zakai V'al Yomus Chayiv. Did it ever happen that parents brought their little kaddishal to the Bezdin and said, Bezdin, we want to say the L'shem Yichud for executing a Ben Soyer Moire? You know, in Tanakh, we learned the Moilech, they offered children to the Moilech. We're going to do it B'Oifan Heter. We're going to kill our child with the Bracha, a Ben Soyer Moire. Did it ever happen such a thing in the history of Klal? The Gemara says it never happened. One opinion says maybe it did, but it cannot never ever happen. Doesn't happen. But the principle is there. Nidoin al shem soifai. Question. The question, we have a principle of Yishmael. We know that Yishmael, when he was born, his mother Avraham Avinu, he took him out, he told his Hagar, get out. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, kol asher tom asara shema b'koyla. If Sarah says, out, Vayera hadavar me'oid be'enei Avraham al oidois b'noi. He's a tzaddikal. He's a good kid. What's wrong with him? Hashem says, no, out. They go out. She throws her out. And then he's about to die. He's dying from dehydration. It's hot in the desert, nothing to drink. Hagar gives up. Hagar, I can't see this. I don't want to witness my son die. She leaves him somewhere underneath. What does it say there in the pasuk? Underneath something, and she runs away. And the malach vayar Hashem ba'asher hu sham. And Hashem says, not so fast. Vayar Hashem ba'asher hu sham. And Hashem sends the malach miraculously. He's a product of a miracle. Yishmael, can you imagine these billions of people? They're all alive today as a result of a miracle. A miracle ba'asher hu sham. Right now the kid's a good kid. But the midrashim tell us, do you know what this person's gonna do one day? Do you even know what, oi, lasumas kel, do you know what this little kid's gonna do? He's gonna destroy the world. Destroy the world. Knock him off. Eliminate him. Save yourself all the agmas nefesh. Hashem says, I can't. Ba'asher hu Shem? Right now, did he lift a finger to anybody? Did he hurt anybody? What did he do? He made litzanis. He made litzanis. Right now he did nothing. Right now Yishmael, at this point in time, Hagar.
It was a little more than that.
Okay, but no, that was later. That was right now he's born. Right now he, Hagar, mitzachek. Hagar, what does it say? It says, the mitzris Hagar was Hagar that was mitzachek. It wasn't Yishmael. Yishmael was an infant. Yishmael didn't do anything at this point in time.
Oh, okay.
So Hashem says, listen, the kid's a kid. He didn't lift a finger. It's not fair. Knew what's going to be in the future? I don't look into the future. Basher hu shom. Right now you're good. You're good. You get to live. So these two halachas are contradictory. On the one hand, this is the famous question. Everyone asks this question. We have the famous question. We have the ben soirer umoire nidoin al shem soifai. And we have Yishmael ba'asher husham. It's not nidoin al shem soifai. I saw recently it says vayavar Hashem apana vayikra. You say v'sham ne'emar vayavar Hashem alponav. So what's v'sham ne'emar? When you ask Hashem to have rachmanis upon you, you say v'sham. You know why you say v'sham? It's not necessary to say v'sham. V'ne'emar. You don't have to say in the nusach ha'tfil the word v'sham ne'emar. There in the Torah it says, just say v'ne'emar. Why do we add the word v'sham? So this is a drush. V'sham is when you're about to say the yud gimel midos sarachim and we say to Hashem, remember Yishmael. Ba'asher hu sham. Look at this moment. At this moment, I'm sincere. Forget about the past. Forget about the future. Ba'asher hu sham. You politely remind Hashem the moment before you invoke the koyach of the yud gimel midos harachamim, Yishmael. Ba'asher hu sham. V'sham ne'emar. So what's going on over here? How do we answer the contradiction between Yishmael and the ben soirer umar? There are a lot of answers.
Yeah.
The most popular answer is that by Yishmael, Itaka did nothing. He did nothing. The ben soirer umoire already exhibits signs of murder. It's already in the making. That's like a popular answer. He already stole money. He already did things. You know, there are already problems. That's one answer. I don't want to go there. Let's put aside all the answers. Let's put aside the answers and let it be a good question. Contradiction. Let's magnify the contradiction. What's the pshat? And the answer is, it depends. It can work in our favor both ways. Sometimes the osid works in our favor, and sometimes Ba'asher hu sham works in our favor. Now let me explain. What do we recite on the first day of Rosh Hashanah as Kriya Satorah? We lay in the parasha of Yishmael. Ba'asher hu sham. That's one of the main messages of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. What do we lay on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? The Akedah. The Akedah never happened. It never happened. I know all the answers, the Lomisha answers. Hashem never said to do it. The Haleu. I know. Let's put aside all the Tifa. You know, when you're a child, Hashem says, take Yitzchak and bring him as a carbon. Don't tell me all the Lomdash answers. V'haleyu, I never told you to slaughter him. I just told you to put him on the Mizbech. This is MS, but let's learn it very simple. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, take Yitzchak and bring him on the Mizbech as a carbon to me. Did Avram ever carry it through? Did it ever actually happen? No. Because at the very last moment, don't do it. So why then do we get credit Why then do we live in the zuchus of the Akedah? You know what the answer is? Because he would have done it. He would have done it. Nidoin al shem soifai. Ben Sarah Moira. Just like you murder this little 13-year-old cute kid. Because Nidoin al shem soifai, because he's going to want to be a serial murderer, so let's kill him now. Take him out of yeshiva. And his nice sneakers and his hat and jacket. With the hat, the brim was still up. You know, you take him out of yeshiva and you take him to his execution because Nidoin al shem soifai, even though right now he's a tzaddik, we look into the future. Nidoin al shem soifai. The same way you say Nidoin al shem soifai to murder someone now, you say Zelum azeh, you say Nidoin al shem soifai when it comes to good. Was Avraham going to carry through with the Akedah? You bet he was. Vayikach vayishlach Avram es yado vayikach es hamacheles lishchoit es binoy. The knife was on his neck. It was clear as day. He was about to do it. Vayikre elov malach Hashem en Hashem al tishlach yodch el anavi al tas loy mu'uma. Don't do it. It's as if you did it. Nidoy in Hashem soifai. That's the second day Rosh Hashanah. The first day Rosh Hashanah, Ba'asher hu sham, Yishmoel aritzeach, a menoif, a troublemaker, a vicious person, will bring grief to this world. Doesn't matter. Ba'asher hu sham. What's the first day Rosh Hashanah all about? These are the more esoteric ideas, but the first day Rosh Hashanah is what's called in Chazal Dina Koshya. And the second day Rosh Hashanah was called Dina Rafya. What does that mean? The first day Rosh Hashanah is tough. It's very, very harsh. In the world of Kabbalah, they say nobody survives the first day Rosh Hashanah. The first day Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judged the world with Midas Hadin. No one comes out clean. Nobody. Dina Koshya. And that is why, Bahashkacha Pratis, we have to have a Yom Tov Sheni. Even in Eretz Yisrael, there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Because the second day Rosh Hashanah is called Dina Rafya, it's soft. It's Rachamim. You come out easy. It's easy as pie to be victorious, to overturn any harshness. It's the easiest thing. You just behave yourself in shul, you daven, don't make trouble, a little kavana, you're good to go, you win, you'll have a wonderful year. If you only had a 1 day Rosh Hashanah, the first day Rosh Hashanah, you're in a lot of trouble. Dina Koshya is the first day, and Dina Rafya. The Darish and Rochel and Leah, the whole lot of Torah on this. But let's take that principle, Koshev Rafya, and let's inject the Kriya Satora. The first day is Dina Koshya, harshness. And what's the harshness? Ba'asher hu sham. What do you mean? And what's the second day? The second day is Nida Nashem Soifai. You would expect it to be just the opposite. You would expect that when it comes to Midas Hadin, harshness, we should take into account the future. Nidoin al shem soifai. We should look at the big picture, every little, what's going to happen 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line. We should look at the big picture and we should be put upon the person a harsh din. On the second day, Rosh Hashanah. Ooh, it's Rachmanis. Oh, right now, are you in shul? Are you behaving yourself? Are you listening to the Kriya to the Shlich Tzibur? You quiet for a few minutes? For 5 minutes? Don't talk? Ba'asher hu sham? During the Nesana Toikef, you didn't talk? You behave yourself? You win. Ba'asher. Isn't that what we would expect? That we should put the Ba'asher hu sham on the second day? And the Midas Hadin of the Ben Soireru Moire, that's Nidoin al shem soifai, on the first day, with the Akedah. The Akedah is also the principle of Nidoin al shem soifai. The answer is no, just the opposite. And that's the Musa Haskel. That more often than not, it's an act of rachmanus for us, for Klal Yisrael, to be nidoin al shem sofer. They always come back. At the end of the day, we always recognize the tshuva. Person can have bumps in life, difficult times, but at the end, more or less, person comes around to recognize tzadik hu Hashem, tzadik Hashem b'chol d'rocha v'chosid b'chol masav. It's an act of rachmonus to be nidoin al shem sofer. And to limit yourself to what you have accomplished right now, where you're holding your life right now, more often than not, that's midas hadin. It may very well have been for Yishmael ba'asher hu shom. For him it was rachmonus. It's an act of rachmonus. Because if we're going to go al shem soifai, he would have been killed. So Hashem, listen, right now, he's an infant. What is a couple, he got kids, an infant, so what are you killing him for? But for us, when you stand on the Yom HaDin and Rosh Hashanah, do you really want Hashem to judge you by Asher Husham? Are you satisfied with what you have accomplished in life? Are you satisfied with what you're holding in life? Or do you yearn for more? Do you yearn? Do you yearn? Do you yearn for more? On the first day, Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin. And Din is tough. What have you done for me lately? It's Din. The second day is Rachmanos. Rachmanos says, what do you hope to accomplish in life? That's the Akedah. Nidoin al Shem Sofer. Okay, and we take both of these principles, and Baruch Hashem, we use both of them to our advantage. So the Maskana, to review this idea, there are contradictory principles. It's a famous, the whole world just talks about this topic. The contradictory principles. Ba'asher husham verse nidoin al shem soifa. You can give 100 technical answers to this question. There are a lot of really good answers, and the easiest answer is that Ben Saramara told you he already is exhibiting signs of murder. So that's why it's, but I don't want to go there. Focus it in the raw, in its raw state. Al Shem Sofer versus Basher Husham. Look at the two lanings of Rosh Hashanah. Yishmoel Basher Husham. The Akedah clearly is a principle of Nidoin Al Shem Sofer. Avraham didn't do the Akedah, but he would have. And he proved it. He proved he would have. So therefore we get all the credit of the Akedah because it was Nidoin Al Shem Sofer. And you would expect to reverse the Kriya Sator, to put Basher Husham on the second day, because that's Rachmanos. That was an act of Rachmanos. That was an act of Rachmanos by Yishmael, Basher Husham, so we also need Rachmanos. But Nidan Hashem Soifa in the Torah is illustrated in the Ben Sarumar who's executed, so that should be on the first day, Midas Hadin. And yet it's reversed! You know why it's reversed? Although in the Torah, the examples that are set in the Torah, in those particular examples, it was Din and Rachamim, but for us, practically speaking, it's just the opposite. When Hashem judges us by Sher Husham, that's a limitation. That's a very, very great limitation, and that's Din. But when you need in Hashem Sofer, where you want to go, where you want to head, where you want to be, that's Rachmanus. And therefore, it's very precise. The first day is Basher Husham, it's Midas Adin, Dina Koshio. The second day is Dina Rafia, it's Rachmanos. It's the Akedah. It never happened, but it would have happened. So that's good enough. But Nidin Al Shem Soifai, that's how we want Hashem to look at us, where we want to be, what we want to accomplish. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yishomer b'nega hatzaras. This idea, this idea is very chavuk to me. This idea, I spent a little time on coming up with this, and I want to share this with you. Make sure we have enough time. Yeah, we have enough time. Yishomer b'nega hatzaras. This week's parasha, lishmor me'oid v'la'asas. What does this pasuk mean? So if you don't read the Rashi, it means, yishomer b'nega hatzaras means, watch out. You know, don't get tzaras. Don't look for problems. Don't speak lashon hara. Lashon hara. Don't look for trouble in life. Just behave yourself. You'll be okay. Right? Isn't that what Yishom? So Rashi says. Rashi says, Yishom ebenega tzaras. What does it mean? Let me read you the Rashi. It's in Perek Chav Dalit, Pasuk Ches. Perek Dal Yishom ebenega tzaras. Shaloi titloish simone tumo. If a person has two white hairs in a baheres, there's a very easy way to get out of tzaras. So a person has tzaras, it's bizei bizyonos. What do you mean, bizei? You know, it's interesting with corona in the beginning. It was such a bizyon if you had corona. Think back, the very beginning when corona first happened. If you were caught, tested positive, oh, then it became very in style. Yeah, I also have corona. I also have corona. I have antibodies. I'm fine. I'm over with it. It's done with it. I told you last, when I first heard about corona, when the very beginning, I thought mamash, I thought Rachman was like AIDS. If you get it, you got it for life. Maybe there's medicines that can, you know, you can function, but like you're a goner. That's what I really thought it was. That's what I thought. I thought, like, what kind of disease is this? Once you get, there's no cure. You get it? It lingers in your body. You're going to die prematurely. You're going to die young, this, that. And I asked people, what does it mean if you have corona? Do you ever get better? Do you die right away? You die in 5 years, 10 years? What does it mean? And I asked this to a lot of people. They all say to me, I don't know. And they all run home and they all go on the internet and they all look, because they have the same question, because they're also worried that maybe if they're sniffling, it means they're going to die tomorrow. I don't know, right? So everyone was like, oh, you have corona, because no one even knows what it is. No one even knows what corona is. Now we have much more understanding. I think, do we? I don't know. I still don't know too much about it. But Rashi, if a person has tzaras, it's bizyoinos. Bizyoinos. You have to shut down your business. You have to go into quarantine. And it's not a 2-week quarantine, a 10-week quarantine. It's, there's no end. Until it goes away. You can be in quarantine for your whole life until the tzaras goes away. And everyone talks about you. You have to go be all like you're sitting shiva. Bodod yeshev michutz lamachaneh meshavai. It's horrible, horrible, horrible to have tzaras. And what is tzaras? I have a white spot and two white hairs. I have a solution for you. When no one is watching, take out a scissors or take your teeth and just cut off the two hairs or cut off one hair. And guess what? You're done. I don't have tzaras. Because in order to have tzaras, you have to have the two white hairs. If you don't have the two white hairs, you can go to shul. Oh, look at you. You got tzaras. No, I don't. I don't have two white hairs. I don't got tzaras. Just because my skin is discolored doesn't mean I have tzaras unless you have the two white hairs. So it's so super easy to fake it. To go and cut off the two hairs, manipulate, do things and no one's going to be able to tell that you have tzaras. And you'll get away with murder. You'll get away with it. Easy, easy as can possibly be. Cover up your crime. If Hashem gave you tzaras, it means you need spiritual rehabilitation. And you spoke Lashon Hara, you did this Avera, that Avera. You need, Hashem has made a statement. You, pointing that you have done terrible Averas, you're guilty, and you need to go to a rehab center. Now, and the whole world's going to know about it, and you're going to be embarrassed, too bad for you. Go to the rehabilitation center. You have tzaras. Oh, I don't want the bezionis. I'll just put my mouth to the two white hairs, bite them, I'm done. I can cover up. It's so easy to cover up for my crimes, my spiritual crimes, by removing the tzaras. Along comes the Torah and it says, don't you dare cover up your crimes. Hishomer benega hatzaras. Don't cover up your spiritual shortcomings. Guard yourself benega hatzaras lishmor meoid v'la'asois. Rashi, hishomer benega hatzaras sheloy titloish. Do not pull out simone tomo v'loy tikoitz esa beheres. And don't pull out the bright spot. Don't go and take some paint and do something to take away the white color. Okay. We learned the pshat and the pasuk chumash. Very nice. Let's continue. The pasuk then says, next pasuk. Zochor e'es asher asa Hashem elokecha l'miryam to Miriam baderech b'tzeschem mimitzrayim. What Hashem did to Miriam. What happened to Miriam? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And she got tzaras. Right? So what is the Pshut Shel Mikra? Let me read you Rashi. Let's read the Rashi. I turned my mistake. Yishrama v'negat tzaras. One moment. Okay, Rashi. Pasuk Tes. Perek Chavdal Pasuk Tes. The very next Pasuk. Imbasa lihizoyer. Look what happened. You want to go use an example to strengthen yourself, not to get it. Just remember Miriam. It's a good way to remember the consequence of speaking Lashon Hara. Rashi is telling you the Peshut Shel Mikra. I want to tell you a drush. I want to suggest to you, if the only reason why we want to focus on watch out. Don't speak Lashon Hara. We don't need Miriam. We have the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation is much better than Miriam Hanaviyah. Okay, they have books, and they have tapes, they have websites. They have a lot of stuff out there. The Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation can do a much better job than remembering, oh, you know, once upon a time there was a person, Miriam, and she spoke Lashon Hara by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he got divorced. He was parish mi'ishtoi, and she got tzaras. And therefore, you don't want to be like her. You don't want to get tzaras. Okay, that's it. That's what you should remember. Really? Is that going to help you remember? The next time you have an urge to speak Lashon Hara, you can think about Miriam? It's going to make a difference to you? I don't know about you, but it's not going to work for me. So what does the pasuk over here mean? Zochor eis asher asa Hashem lecha l'Miriam baderech b'tzeschem mimitzrayim. How is that going to be a real help, a significant help, in order not to speak Lashon Hara? So I want to suggest to you the following answer. When the Torah juxtaposes Zochor eis asher asa lecha l'Miriam next to Yishomer b'megat tzaras, and Rashi goes out of his way to tell you, don't cover up for your crime, your spiritual shortcoming, the focus of Miriam's teaching us something entirely different. Miriam is not teaching us, oh, if you speak Lashon Hara, you get tzaras. No, that's much, much too simplistic. We need Miriam to teach you that if you violate Hashem's command, you're going to be punished? Really? Since when do you need a human being, an example, to teach you that? You know what the story of Miriam is all about? This Rashi Pasuk is telling you? It's about covering up your crime. And let me prove it to you. If we go to the story of Miriam, Parshas Nosoi. No, it's a Parshas Bahaloyscha. Parshas Bahaloyscha, Perik Yud Beis. Bahaloyscha. Parshas Bahaloyscha. Let me read Tadaber Miriam. The Aharon b'Moshe al oidoi so yisho hakushes asher lokoch Ki isha lu chushis lokoch. Miriam, she spoke Lashna about Moshe Rabbeinu. He took an isha chushis, which was a beautiful woman. And what did she say? He got divorced. He got divorced for no good reason. And there's no reason for him to get divorced. That's not nice. He has a wife. He made a commitment when he married her. What crime did she commit that he has to divorce her? She went and she spoke Lashon Hara. And then there's another pasuk. Now, let me omit the next pasuk and let me skip a pasuk. The next pasuk is, I'll skip the next, in fact, the next two pasukim for simple. Vayoymer Hashem pisayim el Moshe v'yalar v'el Miriam tzu shloshtachem eloy el moed v'yeitzu shloshtam. And Hashem goes on and says, Shimono Devorah, and Hashem gives her Musar. She's get punished. She did an Avera. She spoke Lashon Hara. She got Saras. She was punished. Why is it necessary, the Pasuk after the crime? She committed a crime. She spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then she goes on to justify herself. Vayoimru, she and Aaron said, Harak, ach, b'moshe, diber Hashem, haloi gambonu diber. Vayishma, now Hashem took note. Vayishma, it doesn't say Vayishma Hashem when she spoke Lashon Hara, which is almost mashma, that if she would have said the nasty talk and that was it, that would be enough. Hashem would not necessarily punish her with the bezioinos of tzaras. It only says vayishma Hashem after the second pasuk. What is the second pasuk all about? The cover up. The first pasuk is the crime. It's clear as day. She spoke lashon hara. Vatidaber Miriam, the Aharon, both of them committed the crime. Both of them. The Moshe, Al concerning Oidois Ho Isha Hakushis Asher Lokoch. Ki Isha Lukhushis Lokoch. Rashi, Pasik Aleph. Rashi here in Parshas Bahaloischa, Perik Yud Beis, Pasik Aleph. Vatadar Miriam. Okay, the first Rashi talks some technical things over here. But basically, Rashi says, Magid, okay, al oidois geirusheho. She spoke about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu divorced her. And that's not nice. There was no excuse for Moshe Rabbeinu to divorce Miriam. That was the Lashon Hara. That's the crime. And for that, you get saras. Maybe not. You know, not every time a person speaks Lashon Hara does he get saras. Obviously, Miriam sensed that she did something wrong. It's very obvious her conscience bothered her. She spoke Lashon Hara about the Gadol Hadar. What did she do? What she should have done was say, Chotasi Ovisi Pashati. But you know what she did? She did what is human nature to do, is to enter into a state of denial, to justify your actions, to cover up for your crime. And what was her cover up? She presented the most sound, profound argument that she would win, she would earn a PhD in the best universities of the world. Why what she did was not a crime. She said, Vayoimru, Harak, ach, b'moshe diber Hashem? Did Hashem only speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? We're all prophets, and we all remain married. Everyone's married. Just because you're a prophet doesn't mean you have to get divorced. Halei gambonu diber. She justified her Lashon Hara by claiming it's not Lashon Hara. It's legitimate. It's letzorech. All the excuses we come up with when we do an Avera. It wasn't an Avera. It's for a purpose. It's to set an example. It's for this, for that. We justify it. She attempted to cover up her crime. And now Hashem says, Vayishma Hashem. No. If you do an Avera, acknowledge the Avera. don't cover up the crime. You cover up the crime, then I will expose you. Big time. And Hashem exposed her, b'zioinoy she'ein kamo. Hashem called them pisoim, suddenly come out, no preparation. It was b'zei b'zioinoyis. It's as if Hashem spit on her. It can't get worse than that. Why? Because of this one pasuk. She covered up her crime. Now we can fully understand the smichus, the juxtaposition of Hishomer b'nega hatzoras, lishmor ma'od v'las, v'schichol asher yiruch eschem. To the next pasuk, Yishomer Lechem B'nega HaTzaras. Rashi says, what does it mean Yishomer B'nega HaTzaras? If you get Tzaras, don't cover up your crime. Don't pluck out the white hairs, the yellow hairs. Don't manipulate the Tzaras. You can get away with it in a second. I don't want to be embarrassed that I have Tzaras. I'll just cut out the two hairs and no one's going to know. I'm done. Don't do that. Remember what happened to Miriam when she did an Avera for which she gets Tzaras, and she tried to cover up for her crime. She presented a very legitimate argument why what she said was not Lashon Hara, why it was correct that her complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just gossip.
Nothing more. Just mixing.
It wasn't just gossip. It was called for. It was required. And because she did that, Hashem, you're going to cover up your crime? You think you're going to get away with it? I'll be mevazi you beyond your wildest imagination. That's the juxtaposition of Yishomer B'nega Tzaras to Miriam. To understand the story of Miriam is not a story of doing averos. Ein tzadik bo'oretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yachetah. Doesn't exist. The difference between the tzaddikim and the non-tzaddikim are the tzaddikim don't cover up their crimes. They acknowledge that misvade, no matter how painful it is, that's the way it goes. The wicked people, they think they can get away with it. L'havdil elef alfei havdolos, all the big politicians, where do they all go down? None of them ever go down for committing crimes. America is very forgiving, even of politicians. They all are taken down in the cover-ups. Cover-ups, what would have happened if Nixon would have said Chotasi on day one? Would have he be impeached? I doubt it. Clinton could have saved himself a lot of bizyonis if he would just moide alo emes right away. Today there's a whole mahalach. You go for therapy, you have to have the go call the professionals. They'll tell you what to say. They'll tell you what to do. You go for therapy, some illness, and take medication. But misvade, yes. This is what I have done. Indeed, it is correct. I've done an avera. And let's now deal with it. And you'll be shocked. You'll be utterly shocked how forgiving people are and how forgiving Hashem is, even if you commit the worst crimes. Okay, if you commit the worst crimes. Cuomo, did he ever yet admit that it was a fatal mistake to send the people back and kill 5,000 people to the nursing homes? He's in denial. He's still in denial. It's going to haunt him.
Right. And the people who admitted their mistakes, look at that woman who was pardoned for the crime she committed.
It's amazing. You would never expect that the psychology behind that, that if you confess, they'll let you stay in office. Everything obviously depends. You can't generalize these things. But for Miriam, the lesson of Miriam is the cover-up. And you see clearly the juxtaposition. Hishomer is about a cover-up. And then it tells you, remember what happened to Miriam. It's mamish beforish. Rash doesn't say this point. Rash saying derech pshat, but when you put the piece together, that's really the musar haskel of Miriam. All right, we're out of time. Rabbi Isai, thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Enjoy the Shabbos. And Mir Tashem will be back on Monday morning. Be well.
Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Mark. Good Shabbos. Kalman. Baruch. Blazer.
Good Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos. Good
Shabbos. Rabbi Levine, this was your vart.
The Koilos vart. The Koilos vart.
No, very good.
Very good. Shalom.
Excellent.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
I have a quickie.
I told you last year the Barbanel on why he gave what's the reason for divorce to avoid murder.
Ramichol, good Shabbos. Ramichol, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. You want to say hello to everyone?
I just wanted
to. Ramichol wants to show his face. Say hello to everyone.
What is that? Well,
you guys are still here? All right. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Oh, have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, everyone.
Good Shabbos, Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Mark. Mark, this for you. This is an Abarbanel that's really a classic. Why Hashem gave us divorce? What was the reason he gave divorce to Klal Yisrael? Because he knew if you couldn't get rid of your wife any other way, you would kill her. It's to avoid Ritzicha.
Well, that's what they said. That's the joke. I told you. It's a true story.
Did he say that?
There was a story. There was some of my father's shul. His mother, they celebrated, I don't know, like they were married. They were married for a crazy number of years, like 70 years. I don't know, some really high number of years. They were married. They were old people. And they interviewed her. I think even the other. And they said, tell us, all these years of marriage, did you ever once contemplate divorce? So she says, she looks at the interviewer, she looks, divorce? Never. Murder? Yes. Murder, yes. Yeah. Divorce, never.
You knew the Abaca now?
Yeah.